Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
Well, Happy New Year, Mark.
It is. It is yesterday, as we're recording this, was New Year's Day. So,
I never thought I'd live to see 2025.
2025, I know.
Y2K, you might not even remember Y2K.
I do.
Y2K was 25 years, a quarter of a century ago. People were worried about the whole world shutting down.
Right.
And it's, we survived that pretty well.
Wasn't some of that they didn't think the computers were going to know how, like the programmer, it wasn't going to know how to go from 1999 to 2000?
Yeah, that some kind of switch between one and two, it couldn't make that, you know, because those computers, they're pretty dumb. That's why. Oh, dear.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how you know our intelligence is really artificial, if it can't go from one to two.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dear.
Yeah, so 25 years after that. But it is kind of the end of the year. I just was thinking back on this podcast, on just our journey. You know, we did a five-year anniversary episode
right.
a while back, and was just thinking about what were some of the key things as we were coming to faith in Jesus, not necessarily leaving followers, but mm-hmm. just coming to faith in Jesus. And one of the big things that was Bible studies.
Can I just interrupt you even right there?
But yeah.
I mean, we just had a baptism here not long ago.
Yeah.
And somebody who is a former Muslim
right.
was baptized, and that was his thing. Somebody gave me a Bible and I read it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
And he thought it was amazing, and it changed his life. And so the fact you want to talk about Bible studies is like right down the middle
yeah.
on what we should talk about, I think.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, I wasn't always in the right place in my, you know, in my mind about Bible studies. So when—
I heard you had a bad attitude at one time.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I did. I was, there were— A group of friends of mine at Followers that started getting together and doing a Bible study. They were talking about grace. They were talking about Jesus, and now they were going to get together and study the Bible together. And when I heard that, my first reaction was, I wanted nothing to do with it. That's not for me.
Well, and why not? Why would you not have wanted to do that?
It was really like criticized, or I mean, probably heavily criticized, or even condemned by people to be studying the Bible together as a group. I don't think we thought you had to have someone qualified or with the spiritual authority to lead a Bible study. If you were going to study the Bible together, you needed someone to tell you what it meant.
And if you didn't have that, you're better off not doing it?
Yeah, you don't, well, I mean, you
could read it on your own?
You read it on your own, but getting together and studying it, you're just going to come up with all kinds of crazy ideas is what people would talk about.
Aren't you going to come up with crazy ideas on your own?
Yeah, you are.
I mean, I can.
And you're not going to know that your ideas are crazy because you're not talking to anybody else about it.
Oh, that's true.
So that was something. But I had someone go as far one time to tell me that if you listen to another man read the Bible to you at a Bible study, you're accepting that man as your apostle. And when I heard that statement, I thought that can't be right. And
well, accepting someone as your apostle is, I mean, why is that a problem? At least in this person's view.
Because in order for someone to be an apostle, the way we believed it, they had to be supernaturally called by God to be that. That's what we called the preacher, the leader right. of the church. They had that. All spiritual authority. And if you just let anybody do that, then you're following that man now.
Well, I don't know that there's magic that you end up following somebody, but the reality is, see, this is one of the things, that there is authority in God's word.
Yeah.
And so to actually have somebody read the Bible to you is, in some respect, an authoritative act, not because that person has any authority,
right.
but because the word of God has authority.
Right.
I suppose somebody could be sent...
right.
Which is what apostle means,
right.
to proclaim what even authoritatively what is in the Bible.
Yeah, but
I know that's not the argument that was being made.
It wasn't, but the argument that was being made was so far out there in my mind, even at the time, that it made me think. It made
oh,
me think like I don't agree with that. And then I started asking when. When these friends of mine were getting together and starting to study the Bible, and when my first reaction was, I don't want any part of that, that's too much for me, or what, I started questioning that. Why is that? Why don't I want to be part of a group of people studying the Bible? And so I started asking these questions. And then,
what'd you come up with?
That I was just afraid.
Oh, okay.
And that I was wrong, and then... And then I did want to start going, but I was still too afraid to. I didn't go.
Oh, okay.
But, and then I think you even attended some of those studies, didn't you, with
mm-hmm.
with that group? And, and that was actually the first place we went after we did leave.
Oh, okay.
We left, we technically left on a Wednesday and... went to that on the next Saturday night.
It is interesting because I don't think of people being nervous or skittish about that, but I think I do remember there being a lot of looking over your shoulder to see what's going to happen next once people did that. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, when you've heard the questions all the time or the accusations of if people are doing this...
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get, they use the word exalted all the time. You'll get exalted if you do that. And so I think that we just had this ingrained fear almost, like, are we? I don't want to, I better not say too much, or I don't want people to think that I'm getting exalted. And that could have been just me, but I think that when you hear that for so long, I think it just is something that you deal with for a while, but...
I'm just smiling because I'm thinking about being exalted for reading the Bible, and I read the Bible a lot. I kind of read it for my job, even thinking,
right.
What if I was exalted? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Right.
Oh, right. The angels sing, and...
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah.
There's probably have a sound button over there. Makes the right sound.
So. I'll push the wrong one. It'll be, yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. That'll be my exaltation.
Yeah,
sorry. I'm sorry. That's why I was smiling. I was like, oh,
yeah.
But it doesn't do that. It actually humbles you
right.
to read the Bible.
Right.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
And that just makes me smile to think that, because it's a very humbling thing.
Yeah.
In fact, I just was reading about the fear of the Lord, which the whole point
yeah.
of the fear of the Lord, which says is the beginning of wisdom, is that you are humbled in the presence of God because
right.
of how amazing He is. So. And yeah. you run into that when you read the Bible, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went to that study, and then not very long after we left, some friends of mine who were still at Followers invited us over to their house on a Friday night for a Bible study, and there were going to be a few couples there. They were all still going to Followers, and we weren't anymore. And I was having this conversation with them going, surely you understand what it means to invite someone over to your house who's not going there anymore. And they did know what it meant, and they didn't care, and they asked us to come. And that group that started in that little living room of that house grew into, I don't know, 50 people or something. We had to meet in the Beaver Creek Grange, and there were families there, and they just kept coming. They would eventually, you know, pretty soon people would stop going to Followers and they'd keep coming. And but it was a place where people who were still at Followers would still come to this study for a little bit. And then,
so let me ask you this question. Is there something that made a place like that more safe, that not quite as fearful or as scary as it felt to you? Was there something that's special about that particular thing?
I don't know. I think there's a sense of security with people you've known your whole life. I think it's more about the people who are there. So this group was made up of only people who were at Followers, the one that was meeting on Friday nights in the Grange. And so there is a little bit of
security there,
but it's still a huge step for anybody to take while you're there. And they were still, I'm sure, dealing with the fear and wondering, you know, knowing what would happen if family found out that you were doing this. And
so it was all in the down low.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah. And then, when people were confronted about it, then that's kind of when they made their decision that we're going to go somewhere else. But, yeah, I was invited.
So a confrontation is either stop studying the Bible in a group or leave the church? Or those?
Oh,
was that the that wasn't the nature of it, was it?
I think I wouldn't say that they would specifically say those words, but it would be a confrontation of a lot of warnings of how dangerous what you're doing is. Reading the Bible together in a group, especially with people who have left, who don't go to Followers anymore, is going to make you leave. I had a friend of mine when I did say I hadn't started going to Bible studies yet, but I wanted to, and I was trying to get other people to do it with me so it would be less scary, I guess. And my friend said, I just don't know. It seems like everybody that goes to a Bible study ends up leaving. And that, I think that is a true statement from what I can remember. I can't think of anybody who did start studying their Bible in a group who went back to Followers after that. But
what can I ask why that is the case, do you think?
I think that God's word doesn't line up with our church traditions at Followers. I think that it shined a light on some of the things that we had questions about. And then what do you do? What do you do? This is what the Bible says. I can't really argue with it, but it doesn't line up with what I've lived, with what our traditions are, with what others expect me to do. And I think you're just convicted.
And you said something there that I think is worth, at least I'll note anyway, if nothing else, that you said it's what the Bible says that's different than our traditions.
Yeah.
And you said that it's what the Bible says. You didn't say it's what the, you know, the people who've left or the outsiders or anybody else says.
Right.
It's actually right there in black and white in your Bible.
Yeah.
And you're talking about it. And that's where the issue is really in the black and white of what's there in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great point. And that was one thing I was going to bring up in one of the men's studies that I was invited to. A friend who, again, I was invited to come, and when I was not going to Followers anymore, when I got there, there were people who were still going to Followers who I hadn't seen for a little while, and we were having discussions, and it was great because I would say, or someone else would say, I believe this. I don't remember what. I believe this about baptism. And this person who was still going to Followers, he would ask every time, show me what you read in the Bible that makes you believe that, which I thought was the greatest question.
That is a great question.
Show me what you read in the Bible that makes you believe that. And it made me have to be certain about what I believe and not, I didn't look for something to try to support what I believe, but this is what I read that made me believe this.
That's a great question. Say that one more time.
Show me what you read in the Bible that makes you believe that. And I think we should ask that to ourselves about everything that we believe.
Absolutely.
What do you read in the Bible that makes you believe that? But that was really helpful. And then there, I remember one conversation about baptism at the time. It was a big issue at the time, and people were saying, well, this is what the Bible says about baptism, and this is when you do it, and all these, and this same guy says, well, then why haven't you got baptized yet? and the people scheduled their baptism the next week. They scheduled, like, yeah, you're okay. The Bible says, and I'm not doing it. And yeah, and it was, they're a great question, and you can just have these.
Well, that's one of the reasons you do it with other people.
Exactly.
Because you kind of can, you can skate a little bit on your own when you read it, like, this is what the Bible says, and I know I haven't done it yet, but we're just going to let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's not that someone has the higher authority to make you believe something or to fill your mind with crazy ideas. That's kind of what the fear was at followers was, but they hold you accountable to what the Bible says, which has the authority. Like,
well, it sounds like it. If they're asking you a question like that, it's like,
oh. But I think accountability is great. I think hearing other people's point of view on a passage of Scripture is really helpful. It was really important as we were making that journey out and coming to faith in Jesus to just better understand what the Bible says. And
yeah, when you said you wanted to talk about this, I was thinking, okay, why would somebody study the Bible?
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to my mind was related to that, was this, that God's Word changes people's lives. And if I need a change, and I'm thinking about this partly, it's a new year, and you always think about, what do I need to change here as the turn of the year happens? And
yeah,
in order to have the changes that you need, I think the best place to look is in the Bible.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you need more faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Mm-hmm. Romans 10:17, you know, the Bible's how God reveals himself. And it says in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. It's profitable. You want some profit. You know, that's better than you're going to, better return than you're going to find in the stock market or whatever.
Right.
All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're going to find value there as you read it. And so I think that's, you know, the fact that you had somebody help you actually do what it said is even better.
Yeah. But
it is going to change your life. And so I suppose, yeah, if you don't want any change, if you really want to work at not changing, don't read the Bible.
Right, right. And you brought up humility earlier. I just, that's what I thought of as you were reading that passage, that Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Those aren't things, like, it's not profitable for being like self-exalted or making yourself think you're something more than you are. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, to show you the error of your ways.
Reproof and correction are going to be humbling things, for sure.
Yeah. So, I thought that was good. And it was just, there's something about doing it as a group too, that makes you feel like you're in it together. I mean, it's how the church is set up. We're called to community, right? It's, you don't do this on your own. That's not how it was designed. So.
Yeah, and the first day of the church in Acts chapter 2, Yeah. It probably took a little longer than that because there are so many of them, but
right.
they organized themselves to meet regularly around the apostles' doctrine.
Yeah.
In breaking bread and prayers. And they did this instinctually, you might say. The instinct of the church
right.
was to have Bible studies, right. which is really interesting when you think about it in those terms.
Yeah.
Like the instinct was, right. we better get together and talk about what's in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. And they devoted themselves to
right.
the apostles' teachings, you know, that's great. And it's just been really helpful. The other thing that was helpful was listening to people pray together.
Interesting.
We just didn't very often do that. We've talked about it on here before, but prayer was very private. It was, it was only done in a public setting or as a group if we were laying hands on the sick. That process of what we would do, you would go around the room praying out loud. But okay. other than that, you bless the food was the only other time. Any other prayer was never done in a group or done out loud. It was so hearing people pray. I've said before that I really learned how to pray listening to people who had been Christians for a long time. You know, I came to a Bible study here at New Life Church that was on Tuesday morning. So it was the senior adult Bible study, and just listening to people who had been Christians their whole lives pray like they were having a conversation with God was something completely unique and different to me.
Well, that's unique and different, not just to you. I'll say, when I first came here as pastor, there were older saints that would have been in that same cohort
yeah.
that had never prayed a word out loud.
Mm.
And that yeah. just hadn't been something that they had done either. And so they were yeah. with you, like, that's all new to them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but it was just, I mean, so much prayer for people that they just wanted to come to faith in Jesus, and just so much genuine, sincere prayer. And that was just really good for me to hear, and I wouldn't have heard that without going to some of these Bible studies to...
I heard people pray for you.
Yeah.
At one of these Bible studies.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, and it worked. So that's very thankful for that.
And it worked.
It worked.
There you have it.
Yeah. So, there's a couple more pieces of scripture that I wrote down. Romans 1 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So I just think that's what the good news of Jesus is, what the Bible is telling you. It's the story that the Bible's really telling you, is about this gospel, and knowing this gospel and believing it is the power of God for salvation. The other one was in Hebrews, this really rings true to me just based on where I came from, but it says, "Long ago at many times and in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created, he created the world." And I just want to... God spoke to us in these last days through his Son, or by his Son. This is the Bible. This is the promise of his Son. In John's gospel, he says the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word of God, and the Bible is the Word of God. We can learn about him through that. You said he reveals himself to us through the Bible.
Right.
That's what this is. And I want people to realize that. But in these last days, it's done through the Bible. I don't want people to be looking for an old way, like God speaking something new for a specific group of people through a prophet, which is what I was told to wait on my whole life.
Oh, interesting.
So it's...
Yeah, you might say the tried and true way is mm-hmm. through his word.
Yeah.
He claims that he breathed that out so that we might know him and that we might experience, you know, God himself there.
Yeah.
And be complete and equipped for every good work.
Yeah. And then the last one that I'll read, this is, I don't know if this takes a little bit of setup for context, but Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He had, a lot of people had gathered around, and then he had said some things, like, I don't know the specific intentions, but it thinned out the crowd. He said some things that were hard for them to listen to. You're going to have to eat my flesh. I'm the bread of life, and unless you eat my flesh, you know, and they talked about how hard these things were to hear, and the Bible tells us, it's in John chapter 6, but at that time, a lot of people who were following him quit following him. And then, so that's where it picks up in verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And I just think that's important because we can come to that same conclusion through the Bible. We can come to know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. We can come to know that there is nowhere else to go.
Right, I
to
love
whom
that.
Shall
that's,
we go?
That's really the question that everybody's going to have to face, whether you want to get in a Bible study or not.
Yeah.
You've got to face the question, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else are you going to go to find eternal life? And Simon Peter recognized that really all the other alternatives didn't pan out and were shallow and were ineffective. And he said, "You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed." So. Yeah. That's how you come to know the Holy One of God. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I just think it's really important. If you say, you know, if you made it this far listening to this episode, and you're like, I got no interest in a Bible study, that's fine. Congratulations on making it this far, anyway.
Right.
But you really have to say, you know, where else am I going to go? That's, I think, a really key question.
Yeah.
And there just isn't somewhere similar.
Yeah. No, that's. Really good. So, that really is the. I think a Bible study is a great way. I mean, do it if you don't want to go find one somewhere. Then do one at home with your wife. Do one if you're not married. Find some friends to do one with. You're not going to go wrong by reading your Bible, and that is where the words of eternal life are. And so, I'd love to do a Bible study with somebody if they wanted to call.
There you go.
I'd be happy to, but if you don't want to do one with me, do one with somebody, and dig into God's word. And so there.
That's, and do it without fear.
Without fear.
You know, I mean, he is the one. Jesus is the one that's going to bring peace. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring hope. He's going to bring joy.
Yeah,
and he's going to bring eternal life. And if those are the things you want, then pursue Jesus through his word.
Yeah. And as we read earlier, it is the power of God for salvation. Nothing right. else is.
Right.
There's no other way. So, yeah, it's definitely, especially when you think of that, to whom shall we go? If you're thinking, I'm just going to stick with my traditions, then you're going to miss out. If you're eliminating studying the Bible. So one of the hymns that we would sing is called Wonderful Words of Life. And it says, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life." And I love that you said do it without fear, because the more you read it, the less intimidating it is. It's not like I read it and think I'm getting smarter. You're reading it seeing how much greater Jesus is and how much more God loves you. And it's a humbling thing. It's not something that's going to be fearful or anything like that. So the next verse says, Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. I love that part. It's again, it's I kind of always thought of the Bible as like this huge rule book that was just, if I open it, it's just going to show me where I'm going wrong and all the things that I'm failing at.
And God's up there cracking his whip, trying to get you somewhere and rather than wooing you.
Yeah, but it really is just like him just revealing his love for you. And then the last verse is sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life, offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life, Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. So those words are found in the Bible. So,
well, good. I sang that as a little boy too. That was I love that hymn. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.